Liverpool have claimed an extraordinary smash-and-grab win at Paris Saint-Germain thanks to Harvey Elliott's late goal. Elsewhere, Bayern have firm control of their all-Bundesliga encounter with Leverkusen. 10-man Barcelona have won at Benfica, and Inter succeeded where City rivals AC Milan didn't by winning at Feyenoord. There is so much to discuss tonight, from the Champions League round of 16 first leg ties. Hello, I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel and match commentator for Paris Liverpool, Richard Conley. Gents, extraordinary win for Liverpool right at the end. We're going to get into all of it, but the crowning moment, that late goal.
Yeah, the substitutes for Liverpool paying dividends in the end. Darwin Nunez, exceptionally calm, used his physicality, but exceptionally calm, saw the big picture. And Harvey Elliott, with what I still think was his first touch after coming on, finding the finish with Liverpool's only shot on target of the night. They had two attempts over the 95 minutes, and Paris Saint-Germain had 28. And that gives you the big picture of as to how the match was played out. Paris will be wondering how they didn't win it, but Liverpool, enormous credit to them, they have done.
And this is the extraordinary thing, I suppose, because Liverpool, not just results-wise, but in terms of the performances, before tonight, have been clearly the best team in the UEFA Champions League. The results almost don't describe how good they've been in the games. If you think of some of those high points in terms of performances, if you think of the resounding wins over Leverkusen, over Real Madrid, and that's what made Paris Saint-Germain so impressive tonight, that they were able to do something to Liverpool that no other team in England or in Europe has been able to do this season. But the way that Liverpool were able to adjust to that they were able to stay in the game and eventually find a way to grind out a result, and not just a result, but the result that they would have wanted at the beginning, was amazing.
For 87 minutes, it was all about the hosts, and it was shot after shot on Alisson Becker's goal. Fischer Kvaratskhelia found the net. He had his goal ruled out for offside in the first half. Liverpool, meanwhile, was struggling to find opportunities. That was until 3 minutes from time.
Now Nunez to the long ball. He's brought it down, Nunez. He's got a man coming up on the right-hand side. It's Harvey Elliott, who has scored for Liverpool! And Paris are absolutely crestfallen! Have nicked this in the 87th minute.
And they had nicked it, and the reaction was one of relief and surprise. You could see it in the face of those Liverpool players. Taking them back to early in the game, Liverpool's team news, nothing too surprising. No Gakpo in the matchday squad. Jota led the line. The big news from a Paris point of view, and this kind of surprised everyone, Andy, Kvisha Kvaratskhelia starting ahead of Désiré Doué, but it was a selection that was, my word, more than vindicated by that first 45 minutes.
Yeah, he was the best player on the pitch in the first half, and when you're sharing a pitch with Ousmane Dembélé, that's pretty impressive, I think, from the off. It gave an amorphous quality to that front three of Paris that made it very, very difficult for Liverpool to cope with them. Because I think initially you looked at it as it worked out, as you would imagine, with Barkley on the left, with Ousmane Dembélé in the centre-forward position, where he's been flourishing so well with those 18 goals so far in 2025, and Kvaratskhelia on the left, on the right. But then Kvaratskhelia would drift into the centre, he would drift out left without Barkley moving, so the whole shape of the team would change. And for Liverpool to find a way to adjust to that took a really, really long time, and they did well to roll with the punches, and Alisson was a huge part of that, of course.
In that first half, the three of those players were absolutely a joy to watch. The way that they were dribbling, the way that they were deceiving top quality Liverpool defenders, the way that they were running at them, and often, as Andy says, working in pairs. So one's running at you, but you've got the other just outside. So do I need to be thinking about him? Oh, he's gone. You know, it was happening that quickly, and it was really only Alisson that was keeping Liverpool alive at this point. I mean, he was beaten by the shot from Kvaratskhelia, which we thought was the opening goal. He was offside by, what, 8, 10 centimetres? It was very, very close. But he made a string of excellent saves. He also handled the ball very well when the ball came into him quickly. He was pushing it away to safe areas, or he was punching it clear, or he was fielding it cleanly. I mean, he just did a perfect job for Liverpool tonight, and he had to, because the Paris attackers were that good.
And of course, he ended up with a penultimate pass, which I feel should be a statistic in the modern game. But he had a huge part in the goal, really. But of course, the presence of Darwin gave him the opportunity to make a clearance into something that started the move for a goal, really. I mean, and the way we talked about Liverpool adjusting through the evening. Now, Darwin starts going up for the header, wins that. Well, it kind of comes off his shoulder, really. And then he reacts far more quickly than Marquinhos. And most strikers, I think, especially when Liverpool have had so few chances, as we said during the commentary, it's difficult to find that clarity on the counter-attack when you've spent 70% of the game chasing the ball.
They couldn't do it. They just could not do it.
And that Darwin was able to not take the shot, to see Harvey Elliott and play the absolute right pass, so that Elliott didn't even have to break stride, did he? You said it was his first touch, because he only needed to take one touch, and that was the shot.
Yeah. It was a fantastic goal. It was really, really well executed. And we'd seen Liverpool had had moments, the kind of moments that don't reflect in the statistics post-match, where one pass might have released a teammate, but they hadn't been able to time it. And a lot of that was because, I think, they were so exhausted at the defensive work that they'd had to do. Salah was going back towards his own goal. Luis Diaz was going back towards his own goal. Diogo Jota was committing fouls just outside his own penalty box. I mean, it was an 11-man defensive effort from Liverpool. They barely had the energy to counter-attack. When the substitutes came into it, around the hour mark, we saw Nunez and Jones both come on. I think Jones brought something too. Just changed the shape of Liverpool a little bit.
Yes.
Gave them a bit more in midfield. Made it less likely that Paris were going to play it through them as quickly as they did. Gave them a bit of aggression. Counter-pressing back at them a little bit as well. Those substitutes just started to change the momentum a little bit. And Paris weren't as good in the second half as they had been in the first.
Harvey Elliott scored 47 seconds after coming into the game. We're going to hear from him in a moment, but first, goalkeeper and unsurprisingly player of the match, Alisson Becker.
So much quality on their side, but we as well, we work hard. Yeah, we gave away so many chances, but always with a player on the ball. Not so many times, some of them with a 1v1, but the biggest part of the chance is always having someone to make the player who is having the chance have to think a little bit more. So it makes my job easier. All the efforts the team puts in, and at the end, like Arvi coming in and scoring the goal, it's unbelievable. A great story for us. A great night.
I got no words, to be honest. I mean, this guy, he's unbelievable. You know, the best in the world, and each and every game he shows it. Keeps us in so many games. And then, you know, like tonight, it's my opportunity to repay this man. You know, without him, I don't know where we'd be. So, you know, hopefully he can keep putting them in, and hopefully we can keep finishing chances. But, you know, it was a great team performance.
It's interesting. There was a spell, obviously, where Alisson was out injured, and Quivín Kelleher, the Ireland goalkeeper, came in. And people thought maybe this is actually the succession that Kelleher has actually put himself, despite the fact they've got Mamardashvili coming in the summer. But it feels like since he returned to the team, Andy, and Arne Slot was always of the mindset, he's my number one, he really has cemented his place as Liverpool's first-choice goalkeeper again.
Yeah, he has. And I think people have looked at it and wondered whether, you know, there is a bit of a changing of the guard at Liverpool. I think, you know, you look at key players as well who've been part of that generation, like Alexander-Arnold, obviously slightly younger, but certainly Salah and Van Dijk being out of contract. And it feels like a theme's developing, a narrative. And Alisson, of course, coming in just 6 months after Van Dijk when he signed for Liverpool, felt like a part of that when he arrived in 2018. It's so difficult to move on from beloved teams in any sports, isn't it? You know, you want to prolong the pleasure, don't you, for neutrals as much as supporters of the club, as well as the winning culture. But I think we saw tonight how Alisson is very much the present and the future of Liverpool as well as its past.
Let's give Paris Saint-Germain some love here, Richard, because that first half I felt was the level of football we were saying was absolutely the highest it could be, almost, it felt like, from yeah. Paris. They were suffocating Liverpool. And I don't know what else to say other than they were absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's amazing they haven't come away with something here.
Yeah, I mean, you could really laud the performance of each of the 10 outfield players. I think I'm going to make an exception because Donnarumma really wasn't involved for most of the game at all. I mean, he had very, very little to do. So I don't think you could probably say the same about him. But I mean, Hakimi, the way that he got down the right-hand side and was an extra attacker on so many occasions, was so skillful and so energetic. I mean, Marquinhos and William Pacho at the back mopped up everything that Liverpool cleared in their direction for the first hour or more of the game. Vitinha completed 114 passes on the night. Liverpool's best was Alexis McAllister with 28. And Vitinha was involved in an awful lot of intercepting, forcing, winning the ball back. He was the real conductor of Paris tonight, with and without the ball. They've got guys who take top billing further forward, as we've mentioned, but he really a step behind it all. He's orchestrating everything. Joao Neves played well, ran further than anybody else on the night, had a really good chance in the first half as well. Fabian Ruiz is tremendously reliable in there. I mean, they're a really excellent side, and the message that they'll be telling themselves as a group in the hours and days to come before the second leg is, you know, we've proved that we can beat this team. We just haven't quite executed. You know, let's go and win it again.
Yeah, and you look at their ability to score on the road as well. I mean, if you go back over those last three UEFA Champions League games against Salzburg, against Stuttgart, who are a really good side, and against Brest, 10 goals scored, none conceded. I mean, if you're Luis Enrique, you're saying that in the changing room right now, I think. They've been unfortunate tonight, and they've come up against the team in Liverpool that I think played the cards that they were dealt. But having said that, I think 99% of other teams like wilt and lose that game 4 or 5 nil, because as you said, Rob, Paris were irresistible for a huge chunk of that game, well over an hour, I thought. So look, they're still very much in this tie. I think we've seen two teams tonight who are capable of winning the UEFA Champions League. I think there's plenty more in this tie.
Anfield second leg, can they turn it around?
Undoubtedly they can, because they have the players, they have the skill to do it, and I think they have the confidence to do it as well. You know, that has brought this terrific unbeaten run to an end. 22 matches unbeaten before tonight, 10 consecutive victories, but they've got a lot in the bank. It's a team that works for one another. You know, they've got one of the best coaches in world football who's been there before and done it. They all know that. They'll be incredibly dangerous. Even if Liverpool have more of the ball and it's a different type of game at Anfield, then imagine Kvaratskhelia and Dembele and Barkala with more space behind the Liverpool defence, space that they didn't really get tonight because Liverpool sat in for most of the game. And you can imagine them being as dangerous as they were this evening. They've got the individual ability, they've got the collective ability to win it. It's still all to play for.
Since the abolition of the away goals rule, a 1-0 home defeat doesn't feel as bad anymore, and that's not the case. We'll see if they can turn it around at Anfield in just 6 days' time. That's all we have to wait for. We'll have coverage of it, of course, on Match Day Live. Next, we'll take a look at the round of 16 results elsewhere in Europe.
The official UEFA Champions League podcast.
Three other matches from Wednesday still to talk about. We'll start in Munich, where there was so much anticipation for this all Bundesliga clash between Bayern and Bayer Leverkusen.
With the cross, Kane with the header, Bayern strike first, it's careful ball in, is dropped and put in the net by Musiala. for Musiala. 2-0. Mukiele's hands are raised in apology here. And it's a yellow card for Mukiele, which is his second of the game. And he is sent off. And it has just got more difficult still for Bayer Leverkusen. This to extend what is looking a very, very commanding lead in the tie for Bayern Munich already. Kane, 3-0.
Well, there's no stopping that. Harry Kane, by the way, scoring his 21st of 21 penalties for Bayern. Extraordinary record from the penalty spot. That coming with 15 minutes to play, and Bayern dominated. They had 65% of the ball, 17 shots to Leverkusen's 3. It's ended a run of 6 games without a win against Xabi Alonso's side. Let's get some reaction actually from the player of the match, scorer of 2 goals, Harry Kane.
From the first minute, I thought the focus was top from everyone. We brought the intensity. We knew at the Allianz it would be a different game to the last game we played. And we showed that all through the 90 minutes. So, it's half the job done. It's a good half. But, of course, now we look forward to the next week.
Yeah, 2 goals takes him on to 9 in 10 Champions League games this season. Fine header. You heard it on commentary there after a brilliant ball in from Michael Olise. A tough moment for Mate Kovac, claiming a comfortable Kimmich cross, dropping it to Musiala. There was also a moment where Jonas Urbig came on for his Bayern debut. Manuel Neuer injured. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of talk about this succession plan for Bayern's next goalkeeper, Andy.
Yeah, that's right. And Urbig wouldn't have expected to be in a game this big, this early. Of course, signed for Bayern just before the transfer deadline. Wasn't first choice at Köln before, who are near the top of the second division at the moment. So an extraordinary moment for him. But look, I thought what Kane was describing there was quite interesting, because he was describing the last game between Leverkusen and Bayern, which Leverkusen thoroughly dominated and ended up in a 0-0 draw. But as we said before, the fact is that all three of these games that the teams have played before this season have been completely dominated by the home side, but without the home side winning, which I think is quite interesting. So all that changed was not the flow of the game, but the result on
the proper outcome or something.
yeah, the outcome that was meant to happen happened. And I suppose Paris Saint-Germain must be watching that from a distance, or maybe when they get home and watch the highlights tonight, we'll be thinking, yeah, that maybe that could have been us. But Bayern, I think the early goal definitely helped. There was no doubt about that. And I think the fact that they went to finish the tie as they went into
the
second
stages,
half, you certainly did. I think there might be questions over whether Xabi Alonso, of course, didn't use an out-and-out striker in that last league game at the Bayer Arena, maybe could have done the same tonight. He feels that mobile players are the way to go at Bayern. Well, they need goals in the return, so it would be really surprising if one of Patrick Schick and Victor Boniface, two very, very prolific strikers who would walk into most 11s in Europe, it'd be surprising if one of them didn't start at least.
Yeah, both started on the bench of the night. How big is this for Vincent Kompany, Andy?
This is Bayern back to being the Bayern that they've been most of the season under Kompany. Now, the main thing that he's changed there, it's not been a revolution at all at the Fußball Arena München. It's been really a gradual change under Kompany. But the major thing that he's managed to do, I think when you look at that result tonight, it's easy to look at the 3. Let's look at the 0. You know, because that's what they've been able to do in the Bundesliga again and again and again. They're 8 points in front in the Bundesliga, not because Bayer Leverkusen have fallen off, but because Bayern have improved, because they've been relentlessly efficient and consistent. And that is the thing that's difficult to see in the second leg. The opportunity for Leverkusen, and, you know, never write Leverkusen off, they're the comeback kings. Although this would take something really spectacular, because it's very, very hard to imagine Bayern conceding 3 goals in the return.
There was a compelling moment actually in the dugout in that final 5 minutes where Florian Wirtz and Jeremy Frimpong,
yes,
having withdrawn, were in discussion, and they were both just cursing the game, weren't they? You could see them ruin the fact that they'd... And Frimpong had a great chance at 1-0 to score, denied by by Manuel Neuer. That's tough now, Andy, isn't it? Tough second.
Yeah, mate. It is. And you think the third goal is the one that makes all the difference, really, which was quite an avoidable penalty to concede.
Taps over with the challenge. He'd just come on the pitch, and then a hauled back Harry Kane. VAR review, penalty given, and the England captain scored it. Let's go to Lisbon next, where it was Benfica versus Barcelona. You may remember league phase, game of the league phase, maybe. Benfica 4, Barcelona 5. Bit tighter this time around in the round of 16 first leg. The big talking point of the first half was the sending off of Barca centre-back Pau Cubarsí. 22 minutes on the clock when he brought down Vangelis Pavlidis through on goal. And you wondered then, you thought, a draw's probably a good result for Barca here. But a big moment came 15 minutes into the second half.
Oh, and Antonio Silva's given it away. Will he be made to pay for that? Oh, he certainly will! It's a big, big mistake by the Benfica defender. And Rafinha gleefully dispatched it into the back of the Portuguese net. The 10 men of Barcelona lead with half an hour to go in this first leg.
Of course, he was a key character in the 5-4 win, Rafinha. His 9th goal in 9 Champions League games. I'm going to ask you about him in a moment. First of all, how big's that for Barcelona, given the context, the situation they got themselves into?
Huge. And we talked about Liverpool playing the best football of this UEFA Champions League so far. Barcelona haven't been far behind, but they've found a way to deal with adversity as well this evening and found a way to win a game in a different way. Now, Benfica had as many chances as you could hope for against Barcelona. Yeah. Wojciech Szczesny was excellent from the moment.
8 saves, Andy, on the night.
Yeah. 8 saves, really? Wow. He was excellent from the moment he made that save from Kerem Atakurlu early on, which could have seen them go one down in the opening minute. That was a brilliant save with his fingertips. And he had to make other saves, one particularly from Atakurlu later on. And Barcelona always feel ready to take an opportunity in the attacking sense as well. And, you know, you touched on Rafinha there, who has been really one of the players of this Champions League so far. He's been absolutely outstanding for them.
Well, how about this? The Brazil internationals been involved either scoring or assisting 48% of Barcelona's goals in the Champions League, and they've been free scoring, haven't they?
Yes.
In that league phase. What has changed to kick? Look, we knew he was a top player, but what's taken Rafinha to this crazy level? 25 goals, 18 assists in 40 matches.
It's the Hansi Flick effect, I think, is the clear thing to say. Look, this is a Barcelona that want to attack all the time, that are very fluent. I think the structure of the front three really, really helps him because Robert Lewandowski is fitter than he's been in years. He's, you know, he's not been bad in recent years at all, but he has come back from this summer unbelievably fit and unbelievably on form, the best Lewandowski for 4 or 5 years. I think the fact that you have a player in Lamine Yamal who fits with Rafinha and Lewandowski so brilliantly well, you know, you can imagine a young player being able to dribble and glide past people. What you can't imagine is a young player like Yamal having the perfect judgment of when to release the ball all the time and being such a great passer and crosser of the ball inside and outside the foot. He is magnificent. And of course, him coming inside and the fullbacks going out allows Rafinha to drop into these more central areas as well. They want to play quite laterally sometimes as well. You know, they're not just pretty for the sake of it. They are quite adaptable. And his pace and his directness has really, really helped Barcelona this season. And why he's been able to score so many goals.
And it will feel for Benfica, Andy. I know you follow Portuguese football greatly. A missed opportunity. They'll look at this now as a missed opportunity.
A big missed opportunity. Like I said, they created an awful lot of chances in this. It was just about keeping it tight. But as we said earlier, with the best teams, it's not just that you don't dare to make mistakes against them. It's if you make a mistake on them, they feast on it so quickly. And that's what Barcelona were able to do tonight. So maybe Benfica didn't quite deserve this result, but that's what they got, and Barcelona will do that to other teams as well.
Pedri, player of the match, by the way, for 10-man Barcelona. There was one early kickoff tonight. It came in Rotterdam. Inter with the visitors for Feyenoord at De Kuip.
Dumfries is onto it here. And that's a good ball in. Thuram!
wonderful finish to put Inter in front. And laid off for the hit, which came in from Chilenski. Martinez 2-0. And Inter, well on course for the quarterfinals now, courtesy of a cracker from their captain. Chilenski denied. Big save from Bellenreuther. How pivotal might that prove to be? A big step forwards for Inter as they can sense a spot in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League now after a thoroughly professional display at De Kuip. At the end of the first leg, it's Feyenoord 0, Inter 2.
Yeah, Robin van Persie recently put in charge of the Dutch club and they failed to repeat the trick that they produced against AC Milan in the knockout playoff round. Lautaro Martinez, by the way, Inter's all-time leading goal scorer in the Champions League with his 18th in the competition. It was a special night as well for his teammate Stefan de Vrij, a player who started his career at Feyenoord. It proved to be a successful return, of course, to De Kuip for him and his teammates.
We knew that it would be tough to play here. But besides the first 20-25 minutes, we were suffering a little bit, which can happen, and they were dangerous without creating like really big chances. But after we played better and we scored two goals, and it's also important to not concede. So it's a great result for us.
Did the coach have any specific messages at half-time? Because you came out from the second half looking, you know, a lot better, a lot sharper.
Yeah, we had to go up more and keep the distances and keep playing even under pressure. And they were very intense, especially in the first half. And they put a lot of energy. Second half, there was a little bit more space and. Yeah, we did better.
For you personally, before the game, maybe in the warm-up or at quieter moments during the game, were you thinking about being back in Rotterdam, the club that you played for before?
Yeah, of course. It has been a very special night for me. It was very, very special to come back here, and it was also really nice to see how the fans reacted. So Yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, Inter producing a 2-0 victory over Feyenoord early this evening. After the match, I caught up with the man asking the questions there, UEFA reporter Derek Brookman, who explained it wasn't completely straightforward for the Italian side.
I thought Feyenoord did very well, especially in the first half. They probably had the better of the play. Inter were probably stronger after the break. But you know, I think what you saw is just the quality of finishing really made the difference between the two teams. The Thuram's kind of Ibrahimovic-esque finish for the first one, and the way Martinez leathered the ball in for the second was just top class. You know, there's not much you can do against that.
And did you feel, given that Inter have only conceded once in the whole competition, that when it went 2-0, it was always going to be difficult for Feyenoord to get a goal back?
Yeah, and I wonder if that doesn't play a role in the heads of the players as well. I spoke to David Hanschko after the game, and he said, well, they've only conceded one goal in 8 games, so I think you're very much aware that if you go behind against this Inter team, you've got a huge task to get back in the game. You know, in the end, 2-0, obviously it could have been more. Bellenreuther made a good save to prevent it being 3 from the penalty spot. I think given the balance of power between the two teams and the way Inter are playing at the moment, it's probably a result that not too many people wouldn't have expected.
To what extent was Robin van Persie, of course, recently appointed Feyenoord head coach, hampered by absentees? Not ideal, of course, before the biggest game of the season, arguably.
No, we always do a rundown of the players who are out or doubtful, and I think there was 12 players on the out list for Feyenoord, and that was just through injury. Plus, they had both fullbacks that played on Saturday. Reed was suspended and Hartman was ineligible. So you could argue there's more or less a full first team not available. Any coach is going to struggle with that. And given those circumstances, I thought Feyenoord put up a very good showing this evening.
Derek, thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure. Till next time.
UEFA reporter Derek Brookman, our man across the Inter win at Feyenoord. Let's turn our attention back to Paris Saint-Germain 0, Liverpool 1, and hear from the home side's midfielder Vitinha in reflective mood after a frustrating night.
It's like this football, it can happen nights like this, even when you have the whole control of the game. Not only the control, but the opportunities that we had against the opportunities that Liverpool had, it was none or close to none, just the last one that they did it. But I have to talk about my team, about the exhibition that we did against a very good side, one of the best teams, if not the best until this moment in Europe. So we're just going to Anfield with this kind of mentality that we had today. We're going to win, we're going to pass for the next phase. We know that will be tough, but today we had a tough game as well. But like I said, we deserve to win this game. It was clear for everyone. It didn't happen, so let's think about the next match at Anfield.
Alisson made 9 saves, by the way, the most he's ever made in a game for Liverpool in any competition tonight. After the match, the Reds boss Arne Slot spoke about the importance of having home advantage as well in that second leg.
I already knew how good they are and how good they were, and they showed it tonight as well. So yeah, we are happy with the 1-0 win, but we know that this is far from decided yet. That's why it's so important that we play a home game now, and we will need our fans in that home game. Because so fast, the fingers so fast, so many rotations, so many different positioning. And midfielders that can play with the ball. So a very good team, hard work rate as well. But we were in the end also strong in defending, and that's also a part of football that we cannot underestimate.
On a slot there, how big is the Anfield factor as well in the second leg, Andy and Richard?
It's huge. I think you've seen with the performances that Liverpool have given there this season, it feels like, even with the way they played, it feels like a bit of a mountain for Paris Saint-Germain.
They're going to have to perform, Liverpool, no question. And there are big calls for Arne Slot in the second leg, given the impact that Darwin Nunez made up front. Are you going to play him as the big centre forward for the second leg? Or are you going to leave him to make an impact from the bench? It's going to be fascinating to find out. I mean, I still have an inkling that it's going to be very, very close on Tuesday.
All right, who's going through from that tie? Come on, let's do that to finish.
I think Richard's right, it's very close, but Liverpool.
I've got a feeling for Paris. Yeah.
That really would be an extraordinary result. Gents, thank you very much. A compelling watch and a reminder that tonight, Bayern, Barcelona, Inter and Liverpool will all take leads into the second leg ties for them next Tuesday. Match Day Live will be on air 15 minutes ahead of kickoff in our feature game from 2100 CET. And don't forget that this very podcast is available shortly after every single match night of the UEFA Champions League this season. For now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.